Ladies, gentlemen, everyone listening, welcome to episode 87 of the Diamond Duo Podcast. My name is Tom Bauer, joined as always by my co-host and co-producer Tony Puglisi, and we are just around the corner from opening day across Major League Baseball, even though it technically already happened thanks to the Soul Series. We will be going over our how after they scale for the National League, as well as talking about something else that has swept the baseball headlines. And speaking of which, this episode of the Diamond Duo Podcast is brought to you by Betts! No! Not Mookie Betts, another type of Dodger, or former Dodger, who allegedly made some bets. I told you, Tony, I had a terrible intro whipped up because nothing else was coming to mind. I could have done something about how sick I was, but I didn't want to do that. I could have done something clever about opening day, but we haven't reached that. We're kind of in this middle point, and I feel like I had to go for the cheap joke there.
First of all, that was a very cheap joke. Hello, everybody. As well. But number two, you said former Dodger. He's still a Dodger. He said, oh, unless you're talking about the employee. Yeah. Okay. Maybe. Never mind.
Yeah. Now you're catching
on. I get it. I'm just stupid and an idiot and it's late. And yeah. I mean, technically we don't know the whole story, but yeah, safe to say some shady, you know what going around the Dodgers, a lot involving bets, but not the Mookie variety. But yeah, hi everybody. Welcome to what is probably going to end up being the pre-opening day edition of the Diamond Duo Podcast. I'm off to a fantastic start. As you could tell right now, Tom, it's like you couldn't even tell which one of us was just deathly ill the past week or so.
Yeah, I was pretty ill. I did feel like death a few times. Was not good. I could barely breathe without having chest pains, and that's as far as I'm going to take it because you don't need to know my medical history. So just to get into everything, next week is opening week, or I guess I should say this weekend is opening day across Major League Baseball. This episode will probably release on opening day. I believe that's Thursday, March 28th, if I'm not mistaken. Tony will be in Houston, Texas to watch the Yankees get absolutely spanked by their daddies, the Houston Astros. Yes, I said that on the podcast, and yes, I mean that. Yeah. Because the Astros have literally wiped the ever-living shit known as the New York Yankees off the floor for the past who knows how many years. And Tony's going to experience that on day one of the Major League Baseball season.
See, why? I get it. It's true. But why would you put that out in the open? Now you're just giving Astro fans ammunition. They already have plenty of ammunition over us. And after opening day, they're probably going to have more. Like, I'm just going to shoot straight, folks. I'm not going to watch the Yankees win. I would love to see the Yankees win. It would be amazing, but I would not bet money on it, especially considering Nestor Cortes is starting opening day. If one of Altuve, Bregman, Yordan, or Tucker does not go yard, I'll consider that a win for the Yankees. But, hey, you know what? The silver lining is your boy drafted Yordan in the Diamond Duo Fantasy League this year, so I'll have some semblance of a silver lining, God willing, anyway. But no. Gonna see Minute Maid Park, gonna see some family, gonna see some southern stuff. This is actually the furthest west I'll have ever been, so I'm kind of excited. Odds are, not gonna be able to record next week as a result, sadly, but we'll be on it right afterwards next week. I may or may not have more of a southern drawl, may or may not be recording with a cowboy hat on, which you won't be able to see, but maybe you'll be able to feel the essence of it. But bear it up, you'll be able to feel the essence of the disappointment in my voice that will be the New York Yankees.
Here's the good news for all of you fine folks out there. Tony has the intro next episode, and he can go very southern with it. And quite frankly, I challenge him to do so. Make an intro about all of your experiences in Houston, Texas.
Am I going to try and out-yee-haw you? Because longtime listeners of the show, you know Tom could yee a good haw. The Rangers won the World Series last year, and I'm positive it almost made him lose his voice. So, who knows? Maybe next time I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, we're going to give that a shot in episode 88. But for now, we've got to get through episode 87 of the Diamond Duo Podcast. We're recording this episode on Monday, March 25th, currently at 11 p.m. So if anything happens after that time and date, then chances are you will not be hearing about it in this episode. Go give us a follow on social media at The Diamond Duo Podcast on Instagram, at Diamond Duo Pod on Twitter. For all of what's happening with us, we will share it on our social media pages. Also, please give us a follow or sub on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you consume your podcasts, specifically the Diamond Duo Podcast. We would very much appreciate that, maybe even a 5-star rating, and you can even leave a comment or two. The reason that I mentioned Tony's going to be in Houston is, one, because we're going to be talking about it through the next 2 episodes, but two, we will not be able to get our preseason, quote-unquote, predictions out of the way within this episode, because we have to do the how after they scale for the National League and talk about the Shohei Ohtani betting story. And next week, Tony will be in Houston, and the season will have already begun. So we will be doing our predictions for the 2024 season in the next episode.
But for the time being, let's focus right here on episode 87 and dive right into it. And all bets are off for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Like what I did there?
It's almost like you stole it from my intro.
Absolutely not. I didn't steal that from your intro. You made a Mookie Betts joke with it. I made a clever play on words with it. The English language is a beautiful thing that I very, very frequently butcher.
You do.
Exactly. Enough tiptoeing around the issue. Let's dive right into it. Prior to Game 2 of the Seoul Series between the Dodgers and the Padres, it came out that Shohei Ohtani, or rather, the Los Angeles Dodgers, have relieved Shohei Ohtani's longtime interpreter by the name of Ippei Mizuhara of his duties after accusations that he had stolen money from Shohei Ohtani to feed a gambling addiction. In the coming days, not a ton has come out about it, although Ohtani did meet with the media to clear up some points, more so just, you know, state what has already been put out there, that Mizuhara essentially tricked him, lied to him, stole his money, used it for gambling, reaffirmed that he himself has never gambled himself. There's a lot of, let's say, holes left to fill. Tom and I are not going to be the ones to do that because we don't have all the information. Nobody really does at the moment. Neither the Dodgers nor Major League Baseball has really commented on the situation. It's been a lot of, this happened, we'll hear more from Shohei later. But yeah, it's definitely, despite there being kind of a lack of information around it, it's definitely something that's really enraptured the baseball landscape, and it's kind of clouded the air right ahead of opening day, Tom. So an investigation is open. We're going to have to wait and see what actually comes of this, but kind of an interesting way to start the season and Ohtani's tenure with the Dodgers, huh?
Yeah, the Dodgers, over the past few seasons, I'm not going to exactly say who or why, although that other player is in the headlines, but the people that they've signed in free agency have kind of caused some issues that have created some headlines across baseball in the sports landscape. Again, I'm not going to go into who else was necessarily one of those signings, and unfortunately, that was a very bad situation. But no, not a good start for the Ohtani campaign. I'm going to read you all a quote from Shohei Ohtani from his press conference that he held today, which was March 25th, around 5:45 p.m. Eastern Time. This is what he said through the interpreter for the whole shebang, which was Will Ireton, the Dodgers' manager of performance operations. He translated, he is not the new interpreter for Shohei, I just want to point that out. Shohei went on to say, I never bet on baseball or any other sports or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf, and I have never gone through a bookmaker to bet on sports and was never asked to assist betting, and it puts in parentheses payment for anyone else. He went on to say that he fired interpreter Ippei Mizuhara and quote, he has been stealing money from my account and has been telling lies. And leading up to this press conference, by the way, Shohei Ohtani did not take questions at this press conference either. He kind of just read a statement that was translated through Will Ireton. A lot of people are kind of giving Ohtani flack for not having the gall, let's say, to answer questions about this. But I will actually defend him a little bit in that case and say it is an open investigation that is probably going to go supersede Major League Baseball. They're going to do their own due diligence. However, because this is a betting and a money-related thing, there's probably going to be some government parties possibly involved as well. But because it is an open investigation, that's why I'm assuming he's not going to take questions on it. Now, you would like to believe Shohei Ohtani is telling the truth here, because you're getting some accounts that Ippei admitted to some of these crimes in the past. It seems like Ohtani's actions in the Seoul series kind of make it seem like he could have known something was going on, or maybe he didn't know, because he and Ippei were buddy-buddy in the Seoul series, and then suddenly, in the second game, Ippei was dropped, and apparently they found out, the Dodgers found out after the game or before that second game, what was going on. So a lot of this is really just speculation, like a he said, he said type of thing between the two parties, and that makes it difficult to kind of judge how we can attack this story. So like Tony mentioned a few minutes ago, we can only kind of spew out the details that we know. Ohtani is denying that he had any involvement in this and that Ipe wasn't just stealing from him, but maybe some people are pointing out that Ipe could have been making bets on his behalf. People are also questioning the fact that Ipe had apparently access to his bank accounts, which is crazy. Reports were saying that Shohei signed off on certain payments to the bookie, but that it could have been Ipe just doing it through Shohei and kind of, I don't know if it's forging a signature. I'm not going to accuse anybody of doing that. But everything is murky, and I'd like to believe Shohei is telling the truth here. But the truth is, I really don't know. So I can take it from the two sides, and Tony, I'll throw it to you in a second. It's either be on Team A, which is be on Shohei's support team, and kind of be like, okay, you just got swindled by a guy who was supposedly, like, your best friend, so it could have easily been you had the worst friend ever, and you just didn't know anything, or B, you actually did something that's illegal, quite possibly, and if you did make any bet that falls against MLB's policies, you shouldn't be playing baseball anymore. You can't, I'm sorry. Like, it's integrated so much into the game and reality, I understand that. And that's kind of where we have to start drawing a fine line as kind of fans and players. The fine line still has to be conceived, I think. If he did anything illegal, he's going to face the Pete Rose punishment. And he's banned from baseball, and there's no shot in hell he's getting back into the sport that he once managed and played in and has the most career hits of all time in Major League Baseball of. He can't get back in, and Shohei's the face of baseball. I don't think there's a way back in if he did anything illegal.
Here's the problem with this whole situation is, obviously, since we don't know anything, it's very clear what Major League Baseball is trying to do. They're trying to, you know, brush it under the rug, throw up as much opening day, as many opening day posts on social media as they can to sort of get this out of the public eye. Even when they announced this was actually happening, I'm pretty sure it was the same day March Madness started it up. So regardless of what's actually happening between Shohei and Ipe, Major League Baseball wants this to go away. They want this to just let the government agencies handle this and get this out of sight, out of mind, which, Tom, you're right, the government is already involved. The IRS is actually investigating both Ipe Mizuhata and the bookie whose name is mentioned in this article. Shout out ESPN article by Alden Gonzalez. This is the article Tom and I are reading from. It is much more detailed than Tom and I will be in this segment. So if you want more information, go check that out. But the bookie's name, a notorious California-based bookie by the name of Matthew Boner. I can't read. That's coming out.
No, it's not. You can sit with that mistake.
No, that's coming out. That's coming out of the show.
You wish.
I'm scrolling up and down this article so f***ing fast. I read the Y as an N. I'm dumb. Matthew Boyer. B-O-W-Y-E-R.
About to say, where did you get Boner from?
Perfect. Now we got us both sick. Diamond Duo After Dark. Where you at? No, I'm kidding.
No, I'm not playing that.
Oh, God. I'm an idiot. You don't have to. Either way, both, back to my point, both of whom are currently under investigation by the IRS to see what's actually been going down. And the problem with MLB's handling of the situation is it's allowing these sort of conspiracy theories to pop up of, ooh, what if it's Shohei and Ipe's actually just covering up for him, and Shohei is actually the worst friend of the world, about to get his buddy incarcerated, more likely than not. What if it actually is Ipe doing the whole thing? It wouldn't be the first time a prominent athlete has been screwed over by an agent or a manager or an interpreter. We don't know the whole story yet, and frankly, how early it is, I wouldn't expect to know the whole story. But the one thing I would kind of like to see, I know this would bring attention to it, but I also feel like it would quell questions at least a little bit just by bringing attention to it. I wish Rob Manfred would just get in front of a podium, say like a couple things about it, answer a few questions about it, as much as he can. Obviously, it's an ongoing government investigation. I'm sure he can't say many things definitively, but just something to quell the public, because now the absence of information is being filled by the presence of conspiracy and the presence of theories that are circling around, and 99% of which are not going to be true. So now it's creating a shitty image for Shohei, Ipe, the Dodgers, and Major League Baseball in general. So I'm not going to add fuel to that fire and speculate more about who potentially did what, because we really don't know much right now. But the one thing is, I just wish MLB was handling this situation better. I get it. It most certainly caught them off guard. But regardless of the status of the investigation, just showing up in front of a microphone and saying, "Hey, guys, this is all we know. This is all we could tell you. We'll answer your questions to the best of our abilities. And then that's it. We're going to let the government workers do their job." That would make this so much better for everyone involved, because now it's turning into kind of a mess when the focus should be on opening day.
Bouncing off of that, Tony, MLB waited like a couple days before they even announced they were doing an investigation. And I'm pretty sure they announced they're doing an investigation at like 6 o'clock on a Sunday, to where it's almost getting buried. Except that's not how it works, because it was one of the major sports headlines of all the talk shows out there across this great nation of ours. So it ain't getting swept under the rug, guys. This is the global ambassador to baseball. You cannot sweep this under the rug. And you shouldn't be waiting days to say, "We are opening an investigation immediately." Now, of course, they were probably already doing that behind the scenes, and that's probably just the public look. But Tony's right. If you're Rob Manfred, you gotta just take some accountability, or at least just make a statement, for the love of God. Even after a few hours, or even less than 24 hours after this is said, all you gotta put is like a 2-sentence post up on Twitter that says, "Major League Baseball is aware of the Shohei Ohtani story. We have no further comment at the time. We are investigating the matter." That's all you gotta say.
That's it.
Clears you of everything at the moment, and they failed to do that immediately. They waited and waited and waited, and that's where they screwed up. You can't get away with that in 2024. That is not going to be possible with the power of social media.
Especially now, information is as instantaneous as they come. To lag behind like this, like I said before, is what has allowed this crap, so to speak, to fester. So, I will say Shohei himself is not presently accused of any illegal gambling or anything like that. The spotlight is squarely pointed at Mizuhara, so that's all we really know right now. It sucks that we're not going to get a conclusion to this, at least for a bit. I guess the one last thing I'll throw to this is, Tom, to your thing about the Pete Rose comparison, it's definitely apt, because it's the only other major implication of gambling that anybody can recall in baseball. Well, that and the Black Sox scandal, but that's something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is that Shohei Ohtani is baseball. I don't think Rob Manfred and baseball itself, just the collection of owners and stockholders or whoever, I don't think they're going to allow Shohei to get any sort of ban. That is a horrible look. Even if it comes out that he may have dabbled in something illegal, even if it came out that he was the one on the bookie's account, I really don't see them striving to do anything too serious, because any moment with Shohei Ohtani not on a baseball field is money that both he and Major League Baseball are no doubt losing. It's a sad reality that just, you know, folks with influence and money will always get out scot-free no matter what. I'm not saying that is what's going to happen guaranteed, but I think it's a fair assumption to make, especially considering the $700 million that are now tied to Shohei Ohtani, not including endorsements. So if they don't want a massive dip in money just across the board, they're probably going to end up leaving Shohei alone. And that's where all these theories about Ippe being kind of a fall guy are coming from. It's nothing guaranteed. I'm not accusing Ippe of that. I'm not accusing Shohei of that. Investigation is still very much ongoing. I just wanted to throw my hat in the ring that if anybody thinks Shohei is actually going to get banned for life at this point of the game, I think that's a fool's errand. He's way too valuable to just be thrown out and slam the door behind him.
Yes, but here's the problem with that. You have to set a precedent for everybody else. It doesn't matter if that's your number one player. If you are a stickler about discipline and the rules that you set in place, you cannot make exceptions, even if it means for the global ambassador to baseball. Pete Rose has the most hits of all time of any Major League Baseball player. Now, that being said, he didn't have the greatest personal relationships and reputation, or at least nowadays he doesn't, with figures in baseball. So that you can say, but guess what? Baseball banned him. Now, that being said, he also bet on baseball and he may have bet on games that he managed and or played in. I don't know if that's fact or not, but he did bet on baseball. We do know that. And this is a different error, of course, as we mentioned, with betting being more incorporated into Major League Baseball and all that stuff, which is own episode that we could go into, which we're never going to record, but we could if we really wanted to, because there's so much information out there. And I'm not saying that Shohei bet on baseball. If he did bet on baseball, then yeah, that deserves the Pete Rose suspension. I'm sorry, you cannot do that. Again, even if it is a global ambassador. If you bet on another sport, but there's still rules in place, you still have to abide by those rules. It's not going to really change anything. It just means you made a bet and you made a stupid decision, and you might be suspended because of it. People think of you differently. You might not be the number one ambassador anymore, but you can't establish rules if you're not prepared to enforce them to anybody. You have to be able to lay the hammer down to anybody. That's my point. I'm not saying Shohei bet on baseball. I'm not saying he's going to be suspended either. I'm just saying rules are rules, and if you make them a point, you have to obey them.
I completely agree, and that's the shitty thing, is that I agree with it, but I still doubt it's going to happen. See also Manfred's handling of the Astros scandal. How many players got indicted for that one? Gisu Gats. Nothing. Well, that's not what that means in Italian, but nevertheless, I just don't trust the Manfred administration to do anything regarding that, even if something comes out. Again, we'll wait and see. Maybe they'll surprise me, but it is important to note that even Ipe said, like, in his testimony, because he did come out and say stuff about him, like, Tom, you mentioned it before, he said he didn't bet on baseball. He said he bet on other sports, like soccer and American football. I think basketball was another one. I feel like that's definitely a concentrated effort, like whether he did it or not, just to get the spotlight away from baseball. Because, like you said, betting on baseball, that's a huge no-no. That's really all we know right now. Again, if you want to read more, I'd highly recommend that Gonzalez, Aldi Gonzalez article on ESPN for the whole story, and you know, just keep up with the news. See what comes out of this next, because frankly, I don't know what it is. I don't know when it's going to be, but there's going to be some closure to this, I imagine.
Three things to keep in mind. Kids, number one, always have trustworthy friends and only give to those who you absolutely trust and know that they will not cross you and stab you in the back. Number two, if you become an athlete, this is going to sound really shady, have a fall guy. For the love of God, if you ever do something bad, have somebody who can take the fall for you. I'm not saying Shohei did anything bad or anything wrong. NFL pros have told that to rookies before. I know that from watching film and watching like a bunch of rookie stuff over the past who knows how many years in my life. And number three, don't always trust the conspiracy theories on Twitter. And that's probably the most important point out of all this, besides the stabbing your friends in the back type of point that I made. Do not necessarily align or state your views about conspiracy theories and say they are coming true and whatnot if you do not know they are truthful. Journalists, you might not trust them. If you don't, then shame on you, whatever, I don't care. But they will do their job, they'll report on what is necessary to know when time comes. If the whole general consensus and public feels like they are being cheated out of information, then you can start to question things. But don't go along with the Twitter conspiracy theories until they are proven correct in either a court of law or you see the cold hard evidence. That's all.
Here's a secret fourth one. Don't give your bank account information to anyone unless they're blood. Like,
yeah, honestly.
Share your bank account with like your wife, your husband, your parent if you're young enough. Don't give it to someone who's going to be working like with you as an athlete. You might consider them your friend, but that's a lot, especially when you're making $700 million. I feel like you're just setting yourself up for failure in that regard.
Yeah, you may also consider friends family, but a bank account is only for blood family or marriage family, for the love of God. At any rate, we talked about somebody who kind of got effed by somebody. Now we're going to be talking about the how effed are they scale to talk about how effed teams are going into the 2024 season. Last episode, we did the American League edition of this whole shebang where we placed each of Major League Baseball's American League teams into one of five categories. Ain't no stopping us now for the best of the best, who really don't need to do anything except win, baby, win. The second tier is sharp with depth and you'll be fine. Just make a few more pieces and put them on your team, and you can make a run. Rebuilding and retooling is the third tier. Pretty self-explanatory there. Do You Smell Smoke is tier number four. And those are the teams that are pretty much on the brink of trouble or are in trouble already, and they better turn their season and turn their franchise around before they get to tier five. Everything is on fire. Pretty much self-explanatory there. See the Oakland Athletics, or soon to be Las Vegas Athletics. They are in Everything is on Fire for every reason we've gone over in the past year alone. That is that category. We also have invented the confidence meter, which is on a scale of 1 to 10. We will give each rating for each team. Tony and I will come up with a unified, like if they're in Ain't No Stopping Us Now or Do You Smell Smoke? And then we'll come up with our individual confidence meter ratings based on how we think that is going to translate into the 2025 edition of the How Effed Are They scale. So for example, if I give a 1 to the Braves being in Everything is on Fire, say we put the Braves in Everything is on Fire, it's not going to happen. If I gave that a 1 on the confidence meter, I do not think they will be in Everything is on Fire next season. I think they will be higher than that. And if I put them in a 10 for that, then I surely think they'll be in Everything is on Fire next season. That being said, that is the How Effed Are They scale and how it works. Again, we are going through all of the National League teams starting in the National League East.
Yes, we are, and we are going to start with what I consider the best gimme in the National League. By the way, I don't know if we said, but last episode we did the American League. If you are interested, go listen to that one. But for now, we're going to stick with the National League, and the first team is the Atlanta Braves. Like Tom said, we are putting them in Everything is on Fire. No, I'm kidding. For what I believe to be the third year straight, they are in Ain't No Stopping Us Now. For very, very many reasons. They may not have had a ton of postseason success the past two seasons, but by God, that roster is just way too sexy to look at and think anything other than Ain't No Stopping Us Now. The rotation, dare I say, looks better than it's been the past couple years. That's always been my main gripe with the Braves. It was always Max Fried, Charlie Morton, and a couple of who's-its and whatnots. Now it's Spencer Strider, Max Fried, Chris Sale, prime for a bounce back. He looks amazing in spring training. And then down there, you got Charlie Morton and whoever their fifth starter is actually going to be. Ronaldo Lopez, I think, actually. Their bullpen looks great. Really, the only thing they need to show me is more success in the postseason. Frankly, the fact that they do have a World Series in the past 5 years is enough to save them from the, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays fate of, oh, they're good in the regular season, but they can't get it done in the postseason. So, if there ain't no stopping us now, I don't think, Tom, I don't think you're going to come at me too much on this, so I'm just going to jump on my confidence meter. It's a 10. I think the worst they do is finish with slightly under than 100 wins. Other than that, they're a division to lose, no question about it.
You mentioned the playoff success with the Braves, and here's the thing. The way they're built, it has to be Ain't No Stopping Us Now. Let's be completely honest with ourselves. However, I will say the playoff success does very much matter because they've lost to the same team in the exact same fashion 2 years in a row, and it has no sign of improving. Yes, they've tried to make their team better. Can we really trust the Atlanta Braves to not pull a 1990s or mid-2000s Atlanta Braves and choke when it matters most, aka the playoffs? We know they will get it done in the regular season. Even if one or two guys goes down, they still have a lot of reinforcements. So yes, they are in Ain't No Stopping Us Now. However, I would be almost inclined to put them in Do You Smell Smoke for the sheer fact alone that they cannot get past the Phillies in the playoffs. I am not going to put them there. I am just saying I have no problem with doing that. The Braves are in Ain't No Stopping Us Now, but dear God, if they cannot get into the NLCS this year, Tony, I think we need to have this serious conversation next year about putting them in Do You Smell Smoke? If not, Everything is on Fire, depending on how badly they get bounced in the playoffs, should that happen. For that, my confidence meter in Ain't No Stopping Us Now for the Braves is a 7. These past 2 years have lingered over them, and I'm a big proponent of history tells the stories. And history also affects my ratings. So they are most certainly in Ain't No Stopping Us Now. I'm giving them a 7 on the confidence meter of they will be back there next year.
And you tried to roast me for giving the Orioles a 7 half a pitching staff constructed for them.
No. See, here's the main difference. The Orioles have had the top farm system in baseball for multiple years and still arguably have the top farm system in baseball, and they won 100 games last year, and that was their first year of contention. The Braves have had multiple years of contention, and they have just floundered in the playoffs twice. The Orioles are very much on the upswing like the Braves are, and they have a much higher ceiling, you can almost argue, than the Atlanta Braves, even with their limited pitching staff, because they're only going to get better. The Braves, I think, have almost peaked. I don't know how much better they can get.
I will say, even though the Braves have seemingly peaked, I'm with you on that. Like, this roster does feel very, like, I don't see anyone on the roster getting, like, taking another step forward, except maybe someone like Michael Harris or Sean Murphy. This is a team that, you know, Alex Anthopoulos is not just going to let fester. This is not like a Brian Cashman situation with the Yankees where, oh, we have problems at the deadline. Oh, it's fine. Let's just get Kenyon Middleton. We're fine. Like, he is going to build this team to win no matter what. I think he's at least earned my trust in that, is that he wants to win. Whether or not the players are actually clutch enough to perform, that's another problem. But I think to your argument of will they still be in the same place, like of competition this time next year, I think the Braves are almost a shoo-in for that just because of how much their roster is locked down and how willing their general manager and ownership is to win. Like, that's why they're a 10 for me, is that they've proven to me time and time again that they're dedicated to being a winning organization. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've squandered a couple chances in the playoffs, but hey, you can't win every single year. And is it disturbing they've lost to the Phillies twice? Absolutely. And will I reassess this next year if they do it a third time? Beyond a doubt. But where we stand right now, I feel like the Braves have earned my trust. It'll take a little more to break it, but rest assured, if they screw up more, it will be broken. I just don't think it's broken for me yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And again, this is not a regular season necessarily rating reflecting that. They are a 10, and ain't no stopping us now on my confidence meter that they will be back there again next season for the regular season. I'm talking about postseason, because that's only where it matters when you're a winning team. And whether or not you can truly judge a team's success based on 5 games in the playoffs, you can argue that all you want till infinitum. But they did not get it done when it matters most. 2 years in a row, that's where we'll leave the Braves for now, so that way we don't keep running in circles. Let's talk about a team that we probably don't have to spend that much time on, because they are a very much forgettable team, the Miami Marlins. Or maybe we do spend a little bit of time on this team, because I think the easy answer is rebuilding and retooling, considering they also made the playoffs last year. But I almost feel like letting go of Kim Ng after success and more dysfunction in the Miami Marlins franchise can almost net them a Do You Smell Smoke rating. Considering this dysfunction has been going on for many years, even though they've kind of changed ownership over the past few years as well. But Jeter is gone from there. Now, he left because of kind of, I guess you can almost call them creative differences. But Kim Ng was supposed to be this architect for them for many years, and she was doing a fantastic job as GM of the Miami Marlins, making many key trades so that way the team can be built the way they are, establishing a fantastic, or at least pretty good, to fantastic pitching staff if they're pitching at their full potential. She hired Skip Schumacher, which was a great hire for the Miami Marlins. It helped turn them around. They just needed to get the offense going. They made the playoffs last year, and she is not back. That doesn't sit well with me. That being said, realistically, they're probably in rebuilding and retooling. I don't think I could put them in Do You Smell Smoke, because they did make the postseason for the first time in who knows how many years. And I'm not counting the 2020 version, because that was a foo-foo World Series and a foo-foo playoffs, you can call that. I'm not counting that at all. They made the playoffs for the first time in a very long time. So I almost want to put them in Do You Smell Smoke for those reasons of dysfunction, though.
You're going to think I'm crazy, then. There was a part of me, like, because I'll be honest, I forgot about some of that organizational strife, and the whole crap with Kim Ng sucks. I'm purely looking at the product on the field and the strides that have been made to make the Marlins a better organization. Mm-hmm. I was thinking rebuilding and retooling at one point, because that's just where the Marlins live at this point. They're neighbors with the Royals and Pirates. There's a bit of this team that really makes me think that they're trying now. If anything, like, even if he's a bounce back candidate, guys like Tim Anderson, guys like going out and getting Jake Berger last year to help with power. I don't like that they let Jorge Soler walk. I feel like he's a guy they really needed to keep the power up, you know, unless you want to just pray to God that Jazz Chisholm doesn't hurt himself for the third year in a row. I feel like moves have been made to make this team better, particularly in the pitching staff. So I was toying with shore up with depth, especially considering they're coming off of a playoff push. They made the playoffs because every other team in the National League decided to die last year. Cough, cough, Mets, Padres, and Cardinals. There's a part of me that wants to put them there, if only because of the organizational strides. Like, Tom, just think back like 3 years ago, how bad the Marlins were, and their position now. They're definitely in a better position. I feel like we're going to end up settling in the middle, like, you're on the negative end, I'm on the positive end, we'll just kind of gravitate towards rebuilding, considering we both considered it at some point. But I will say, the Marlins, I think, are heading in the right direction. Yeah. Not having Sandy this year sucks. I don't like that they still don't have a ton of power, but bare minimum, I think this is the most confident I have felt about the Marlins, pardon if this is a, you know, persona non grata reference for a different reason, since Jose Fernandez.
Yeah.
Like, this has been the best I felt about the Marlins since then. That's not saying that they're going to run away with the division. I frankly think they're going to settle in nicely at number three. But I think they'll compete decently for a wild card spot, particularly if guys like Jesus Luzardo and Edward Cabrera and AJ Puck and everybody in that pitching staff gets them going. That's really where I'm looking with this. If they come through, I think the Marlins will be fine.
Yeah, this has really turned into an actual conversation. Okay. Yeah, I think we are going to have to settle in the middle here. Because I am still very apprehensive. I completely agree with the fact that you're giving them positive marks, and I can see that. I can see them winning 82 games this year. I can see them being a contender for that final wild card spot, if not a higher wild card spot. The issue with that is that there's teams ahead of them in the National League that theoretically supersede them. And what I mean is they have the actual talent that's been proven. The Miami Marlins aren't necessarily proven yet. Like, the Mets... No offense, they have, I don't want to call them winners, but you know what you're getting out of them. Even though they might not finish ahead of the Miami Marlins, you can probably make a more confident prediction about the New York Mets, than you can the Miami Marlins. Because the Marlins right now are very much a Tampa Bay Rays light. And I'm not just saying that because both teams are in Central to South Florida. I'm saying that because their offense is sketchy. Which the Rays offense is usually always sketchy, although I will say they've made some great strides over the past few years. But the pitching is going to be their bread and butter that can get things done. And the Miami Marlins are built the exact same way, except they're worse in every category than the Tampa Bay Rays are. So they're not quite there yet, and I do think they will make strides, and they are looking upwards in their future, minus the dysfunction within the front office. But then again, do you really want to be in the Marlins franchise for that long? Maybe it was a difference that Kim Ng said, I'm getting nowhere here, peace out, I'm going to go get a better opportunity somewhere else. I think we're going to have to settle in rebuilding and retooling, but I might not be as confident about that, because if the Marlins actually have another good year, Tony, where they're like above 500, I think they will have to make that jump into shore up with depth. I think it's almost automatic that they'll do that. So I'm going to go rebuild and retooling, but I'm only going to be a 5 on the confidence meter because I think they could actually jump up next year. And I really don't think they'll jump down.
I'm going to agree with you for the exact same reason. I feel like the Marlins are getting slept on a little bit in the offseason because, you know, of all these big free agent acquisitions and trades happening in the National League and other wildcard teams like the Diamondbacks and whatever the hell team in the Central wants to try for a wild card. And obviously the Phillies, who we're going to talk about in a little bit, are kind of burying the Marlins. The Marlins could be a sneaky good team if that offense actually clicks. I have faith in their pitching staff if they stay healthy. It's just a matter of if that offense comes around. So for that reason, since I am high on a bunch of their guys, I'm actually going to give them a 4. I feel like, in a way, they've got an opportunity in front of them. It's just up to them to take it. I know that's the most generic sentence anyone has ever said ever, but at the same time, the Marlins know what they need to do. Their hitters need to step up. Their guys need to perform like they're supposed to. And if they do that, they'll be set up fine for a wild card push. We'll have to see, though. And that's why I'm not terribly confident about retooling, because I don't think they're rebuilding anymore. But I see what you mean about the front office. I definitely see that. Let's move on to a team that no longer really has to worry about the front office, at least not as much as they have in years past. Although the front office did say they're openly tanking this year. Let's talk about the Mets.
Oh, boy.
Because what some Mets pundits on Twitter will have you believing, I frankly think is false, and if I'm saying Mets pundits, you know they're you know, they're smelling the fumes of their own farts. They think their team is way better than it actually is, which I will say, the people who are Mets doomers this year who think they're going to outright suck, I also think they're wrong. In a way, like, they do still have that hitting core that has proven successful for them. They still have Nimmo, they still have Lindor, they still have Alonso, which, Tom, I feel like those are the guys you were talking about before. Like, you know who the Mets are, you could predict them easier. Like, Pete's gonna hit 40 homers again. Lindor is gonna be an all-around great player and go 20-20, possibly 30-30 again. The Mets are a dried cement. You know exactly what you're gonna get. The problem is that depth. Like, I'm terrified of one thing with the Mets, and that's their projects failing. I'm looking at Brett Beatty, I'm looking at Francisco Alvarez, I'm looking at Mark Vientos, who, for some reason, got sent down to AAA. I don't know what they're doing with this kid. If anything, they're pulling a Yankees and just setting their top prospects up for failure. I guess it's a New York thing. They're looking to recent acquisition, by the way, JD Martinez. He just signed with them. I don't really know what to make of the Mets. Considering the office basically said they're not competing this year, I do kind of want to put them in rebuilding and retooling. I don't really think they're a piece away from competing. I don't think they're smelling smoke either, because their offseason last year...
I was about to say, you might want to hold your thoughts on the do you smell smoke, because I think we're going to differ with our ratings.
I'll be honest, I don't want to say smoke, because they knew, they saw the writing on the wall last year. Like, last year, if they did what the Angels did last year, I would argue for fire, because their farm system would not have been that great. They would have been on the hook for a terrible Scherzer contract and a potentially worse Verlander contract, since he's opening the season on IL too. And they would have had a team that was just entirely futile with no real hope for the future. Now, with guys like Luis Angel Acuña and Drew Gilbert waiting in the wings, potentially for debuts in 2025, I feel like the Mets set themselves up pretty good for the short-term future. I'm just going to be honest, their deadline last year, I think, saved them from any semblance of fire. So I'm going to be nice and say rebuilding and retooling. Hopefully they'll be there a year. But I will say that pitching staff terrifies me. Anyone that compares the Mets to the Yankees in any way, shape, or form is made null and void completely by the fact that the Yankees have a finished pitching staff. Or at least a more so finished pitching staff than the Mets. Tom, please give me your argument. I can't wait to hear it.
Here's why, and I'm a big proponent of history is kind of telling of my what I'm going to say. Last year we had the Mets, and ain't no stopping us now. And we thought they were going to compete for the division and possibly clinch a World Series spot based on how hyped up they were and the additions of a Justin Verlander and keeping a Max Scherzer and kind of getting this core going. Here's the problem. They don't have Buck Showalter anymore. They fired their manager. Now they have an inexperienced and a first-time manager in Carlos Mendoza. It is a good thing, because they clearly needed the change, and that's where maybe you're swaying my opinion, is they did see they are doing things wrong, Steve Cohen did, and they need to make changes ASAP, and they hired a great baseball mind in David Stearns, who will do things and kind of collaborate with Steve Cohen to make his decisions smarter and to become more of a baseball mind. But you've also got to consider the failures of the Mets last year compared to how successful we thought they were going to be. They're not in everything is on fire, because they still have their core at the end of the day, and you can make a lot of arguments that players were hurt last year. Things really just didn't go their way. You can make that same case for the New York Yankees, even. But they only won 75 games. And I know Edwin Diaz got hurt and all that crap, like the excuses that I just listed. And rebuilding and retooling is probably the most realistic spot, and most certainly they'd be on the retooling spectrum at this point. But I think almost for their failures alone, even though they did see the wrongs that they were doing, like you mentioned, I think for just how hyped they were and how much they fell right on their face, it deserves do you smell smoke. Borderline everything is on fire because of how terrible it went. However, they did again see what was going wrong and they tried to address it and they got smarter. So for that reason, you can argue the retool. I think because of failure, they deserve do you smell smoke.
I still am leading rebuild and retool, if only because, honestly, I forgot about David Stearns. The fact that they brought him in, same argument as the Braves, they showed me that they are dedicated to winning at any cost, even if that means changing the course when they know they're on the wrong one. However, something else just popped into my head.
Oh, what's this?
Tom, you're familiar with the Pete Alonso saga, are you?
Oh, you mean the fact that he hasn't signed a contract yet?
Yeah, that one. The one that says he might test free agency at the end of next season.
Ooh.
Of which I know multiple Mets fans who have told me if Pete leaves, they might not root for the Mets.
They are one, ridiculous, but somewhat realistic. And two, while we're talking Mets free agency next year, how about we talk about all the Mets fans who've unanimously decided that Juan Soto is going to be a New York Met and solve all the world's problems and bring peace to Queens next year when he inevitably signs a deal that makes him a Met for life. Which, okay, buddy. Do you really think if he is going to stay in New York that he is going to sign with the f***ing Mets? No! That is not going to happen. I am not even trying to be fanboy Homer Yankee guy. Why the hell would Juan Soto settle for the mediocrity team when he's already on the A-list team? No offense, Mets, but that's just the realistic take.
I'll be honest, I don't even want to touch that because, frankly, I feel like the Mets are more willing to throw $500 million at him than the Yankees are.
Oh, probably.
I don't think that's necessarily a good thing for them. I think they're better off fixing, I don't know, whatever the f*** that starting rotation is. Luis Severino as a number two guy in the year 2024. Good luck with that. But
where were you leaning with the Pete Alonso thing? Because that popped into your mind, and then I kind of superseded you with Soto. So where were you going with the Pete Alonso with your rating here?
I was gonna say, for the sake of time, and for the sake of, I guess I could see it. I'm willing to concede for. I almost said everything is smoke for Do You Smell Smoke?
Okay.
Not the most confident in that, so that'll reflect in my confidence meter, but bare minimum, you know, just to keep things moving along. And so we're not spending, you know, 10 minutes per NL East team. Let's just settle on smoke, and then we'll get to the confidence meter after. I'll just throw mine out there. Mine is... Actually, you know what? You go first. You go first. I'm going to think about mine a little bit.
Yeah, my confidence meter for the Mets is going to be a 3. Now, I would like to point out, no matter what my rating would be, it would not be very confident with the Mets. That being said, remember 10 minutes ago when I said they are easy to predict? Yes, because you know what they got. But that being said, I'm not confident about how they'll be next year, because there's so many factors that go into it. You've got the Juan Soto decision. You've got the Pete Alonso decision. You've got the, are we going to keep this core intact decision. Some guys have to stay, like a Frankie Lindor, because they signed on for so much money in so many years. And you've got like a Francisco Alvarez, who will be there for a number of years unless he turns into Gary Fat Sanchez. Excuse my language, but it's true. Shout out to Jesse. That was his nickname for him. Jesse, I know you're not listening, but thank you for that inspiration. Either way, I would not be confident in any decision I make here. If it were rebuilding and retooling, I'd only give that a 4 on the confidence meter. Here, I'm going a 3. Because this could very well turn into everything is on fire if they lose Pete Alonso and they don't sign Juan Soto. It could go there. Or maybe we keep them smelling smoke. We're going to have to make that decision and cross that bridge a year from now. But if things go well and they make a playoff spot and they retain at least one of the two, or rather retain Pete Alonso, maybe get Juan Soto as well, then the fortunes change. So it's a lot of factors that go into it that we don't know the answers to yet. I'm only at a 3. For the confidence meter of Do You Smell Smoke?
I'm going to be honest, if we're looking at it by that viewpoint, let's say, of how likely it is they're going to be in this spot next year, then I'm going to be honest, this is going to be a 1. I really don't see a reality in which we give the Mets smoke again. They're either going to crater out and we give them fire. Like you said, they don't sign Juan Soto. Their starting pitching still sucks. Maybe their prospects aren't ready to debut yet, and they largely just schlep out the same roster to get fourth place in the division again, or things go really well and Drew Gilbert cracks the opening day roster and they sign Alex Bregman to play third base after Brett Beatty inevitably sucks again, and they get someone else for the rotation. Who knows, maybe they do get Soto, and at that rate I would be more than happy to put them in shore up with depth. But where we stand now, this is very much a make-or-break type season and prospective off-season for the Mets. So I don't think they'll be in smoke next year, regardless of whether they get better or worse. So that being said, Tom, we've talked a lot about these teams. We've had a lot of back and forths. We've kind of disagreed on a couple of these. I'm curious where we're going to land on this one, because this team, as successful as they've been, they still strike me as a question mark, and that's the Philadelphia Phillies. I took the lead on the Mets. I'm going to give you the lead for the Phillies on this one.
I could go with history and say they've made the World Series and then the NLCS, and you can argue they can make the NLCS again this year, because they are that team that catches fire at the right time, and they've had playoff success in the past. For that reason, you could put them in Ain't No Stopping Us Now. They're not in Do You Smell Smoke or Everything Is on Fire, and they're certainly not a rebuilding and retooling team based on the talent that they've got. So it's going to be one of the top two tiers. Last year, we had them in Sharp with Depth and You'll Be Fine, and that was coming off of a World Series appearance. I question how much some of these core members are going to contribute for so much longer. And I'm pointing the finger at Kyle Schwarber and Nick Castellanos. Both of them are known for their offensive prowess. But Kyle Schwarber, he gets on base a lot and he walks a lot, but he also strikes out a lot. We've gone over this before. And I don't know if he's going to hit 40 home runs again. And if he hits below the Mason-Dixon line, or the Mendoza line, excuse me, again, I confused that.
Sorry, that caught me off guard. I'm calling it that from now on.
Thank you. Whatever line he hits below again, he better start swinging above it. That's all I'm saying. And of course, Big Dick Nick are one of our favorite players on this show. It's just the age that concerns me with him. That's really all. He's getting older. For the reasons of question marks, listen, if we didn't put them in Ain't No Stopping Us Now last year after making the World Series, I don't know if we can put them in Ain't No Stopping Us Now after losing in the NLCS and losing in embarrassing fashion as well, blowing your huge opportunity, waste opportunity of going to the World Series back-to-back. I kind of have to lean Sharp with Depth and You'll Be Fine here.
I'm going to agree in the realm of Sure Up with Depth. I feel like that's just the safest place to put them. I will say the argument is there, at least in my opinion, for putting them in Ain't No Stopping Us Now because of repeated playoff success. Like, they've made it to the Final Four 2 years in a row. That's nothing to scuff at. That's really impressive. And there is a part of me that wants to put them in Ain't No Stopping Us Now, but then I think of the teams we have up there already. You know, the Braves, the Astros, the Rangers, and like, there are parts of this Phillies roster that really had me think, okay, I don't think they're quite there yet. Exhibit A, the bullpen, always seems to be a problem with the Braves. It's not been as bad the past couple of years, as in, you know, you don't make the World Series with a bullpen. And they finally have a bona fide closer now in Jose Alvarado. And they finally exercise their demon. Craig Kimbrel is no longer a Philly. Rest easy, Phillies fans. I'm still low-key worried about that rotation after Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler. You just can't really sell me on another year of Ranger Suarez and Christopher Sanchez and whoever the hell that fifth starter is going to be. Tom, you hit the nail on the head with Castellanos. I'm going to be honest, I'm expecting big regression from him this year. Like, his strikeout numbers were, they took a jump last year. Rob Thompson has gotten in the habit of batting Castellanos seventh in spring training. Like, even now, when lineups are more closely reflecting what it will likely be on opening day, he looks like he's going, you know, after Schwarber, Tucker, and Harper 1-2-3, he typically is going Real Muto, then Stott, then Bohm, then Castellanos. And sometimes he switches Bohm and Real Muto. Castellanos is not going to hit high in that lineup frequently, unless someone gets hurt or unless he starts the year off hot. Plus his defense sucks, plus he's getting older. He's not someone I'm looking at to be a big contributor again. Even Schwarber and Real Muto are getting up there in age. So outside of Harper and Turner, we got to see how this lineup goes. Sure up with Depth, they're still there. For the confidence meter, though, it's going to be interesting. I'll be nice. I'll put them on like the upper echelon because I can see them being here next year, given the nature of the NL East in particular. The problem, though, is there is still room for regression. I'll give them what you gave the Braves. I'll give them a 7. I could definitely still see them here next year, but if their lineup is to get worse, or their rotation is to, lack of rotation depth rather, catches up to them, then I could see them taking a bit of a step back. They're not like my, like, ooh, they're going to be worse than people think pick, but don't be surprised if some of their pieces underperform.
I'm actually more confident in this pick than I am with the Braves, and ain't no stopping us now for next year. I'm giving them an 8 for sure with depth here. And okay. The reason is, I fully expect them to be a playoff team this season. And if I'm going based on history, that's going to tell me they didn't regress enough to lower them to do you smell smoke. Unless, of course, they make some crazy decisions or John Middleton like has a end-of-life crisis. So, sharp with depth, I think they will definitely be there next year. I'm going to give them an 8 in the confidence meter with that. I really don't have many qualms about that. Now, listen, I may or may not have said that the Miami Marlins may have only been a very quick discussion. I think the Washington Nationals might be one of the teams up for quickest discussion in this very episode alone. Rebuilding and retooling, and I am very confident in that. I'm going to give them a 10 because that's all they are doing right now is rebuilding and retooling some of the pieces. I don't expect Joey Gallo to win an MVP, so they can't go any higher than rebuilding and retooling, unfortunately. But they're going to be there next year, and they might be there for another couple years after that.
I'm 100% going to agree with you. I'm also going to give them a 10. Although I will say, keep an eye on them during the trade deadline. They have Joey Gallo. They also have Eddie Rosario for surprisingly cheap. And some of the rotation pieces are going to be interesting. I'm going to keep my eye on Josiah Gray and Mackenzie Gore this year. But Tom, really, the one thing I'm looking at right now is this is the last year of the Patrick Corbin contract. After that, the Nationals have washed their hands of it. They'll be up for, you know, another step up if they show me something this year. Because, you know, CJ Abrams looked great tail end of last year. Lane Thomas had probably the quietest 2020 season I've ever seen. And even guys like Keibert Ruiz, they have guys who can bop. But I don't think they have enough yet where they're in anything but rebuilding and retooling. They're still a very raw team. So, yeah, no further discussion needed. You're right. Not going to spend too much time on it.
Yeah, real quickly, you mentioned they are getting rid of the Patrick Corbin contract. What other contract are they going to be on the hook for, Tony? What forgotten player that had to forcibly retire that they're still going to be on the hook for?
Oh, I want to joke and say Anthony Rendon, because that would be so funny. I'm actually kind of shocked. I don't remember if he came up in the Angels discussion, but nevertheless, yeah, the Steven Strasburg contract is still very alive and very well. Apparently he reported to spring training, but he's not playing because he's, like, very much injured and cannot throw a baseball again. Thoracic outlet's a killer like that, but, yeah, I don't know. The whole situation's weird. I feel like the Nationals pissed him off in some way, but I'm not here to spread rumors. I'm here to spread baseball. That's more fun anyway.
You're here to spread baseball.
Rebuilding and retooling. Exactly. That should be our tagline.
Okay. Yeah, the Diamond Jewel Podcast, here to spread baseball. That's how we're going to intro every episode from now on, I think.
Perfect.
Terrible, terrible segueing aside. Get rid of the last 2 minutes of this podcast's history. Move on to the NL Central. We're starting off with the Chicago Cubbies, the team I picked correctly to finish in second place last year. I may have even gotten the win. I got that wrong. That's unfortunate. But I was correct about that. I am looking to be correct again. I actually don't know what we gave them last year. I want to say it had to have been rebuilding and retooling. This is going to be an interesting one. I think they can definitely fit into that category once again for the fact that there's still a lot of unproven commodities, I feel like. Although this could almost be a Mets situation, and some of them, we know what we're getting. Like, there's Dansby Swanson. And I was going to say Cody Bellinger, but then again, I don't even know what we're getting with that. This is going to be a little bit more difficult than I thought we were going to initially have. Huh. Tony, I'm going to let you speak first, so that way I can think about my decision even more.
If you want to, I already know what I'm going to say, because I'm going to be honest, I'm a little bullish on the Cubs. I almost said the Bears. Wrong Chicago team. Cubs, I feel like, have done enough since last year to be promoted to shore up with depth.
Okay.
I feel like that is a little, let's say, risky, but considering the division that they play in, if you ask me, it's wide open right now. And number two, the pieces last year who showed us something. I'm looking squarely at Seiya Suzuki, who ended last year white hot. I'm looking at Nico Horner, who served as the leadoff hitter very, very well. I'm looking at breakout stars like Adbert Alzolay and Justin Steele. This season, I'll be looking to guys like Shota Imanaga, or maybe seeing if Kyle Hendricks still has gas left in the tank. Maybe an unsung hero like Jordan Wicks. He just earned a spot in the rotation. And all the while, you still have Cody Bellinger and Ian Happ on the back burner, with promising prospects on the team as well, like Michael Bush. This is a team that really intrigues me, and I feel like with enough depth, they could seriously make a run. I mean, hell, they outperformed their win total by like 14 wins last year. I think they're trending in the right direction. Plus, they have more prospects to come, like Kevin Alcantara and Pete Crow Armstrong, two prospects they poached from the Yankees and Mets because neither of them know how to trade. But nevertheless, I feel like the Cubs have earned shore up with depth and they'll be fine. I'm not going to be super bullish and say, hey, no stopping us now, because that would be a little absurd. But I'm going to give them ain't no stopping us now. And I was about to give a confidence meter, but I want to hear your opinion first, Tom, if we end up putting them somewhere else.
Well, I like how you said, we're not going to give them ain't no stopping us now, and then you proceeded to accidentally say, I'm going to put them in ain't no stopping us now, instead of sure up with depth. So thank you for doing that.
I'm an idiot.
Yes, you very much are.
It's also past midnight.
Yeah, that's not an excuse. We record past midnight all the time. I'm going to love the moral dilemma that we have here of the Miami Marlins actually made the playoffs, and we're giving them rebuilding and retooling, and the Cubbies fell flat on their face in the last few days, and we're going to promote them to shore up with depth. I love that morally for us. We are doing great.
Oh, God. Well, I'd like to point out, I wanted to put the Marlins in ain't no, or no, God damn it, it's not everything is ain't no stopping us now, in shore up with depth.
Oh, you did want to do that, but I had my apprehensions.
I will say with the Cubs, I feel like there's more reason for that because they were more active in the offseason. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're building themselves up a little better.
That's true. And people actually want to play for the Chicago Cubs. Not a lot of people grow up and say, Daddy or Mommy, I want to be a Miami Marlin when I'm older. I don't know any kids, luckily, that have thought that. And thankfully, I don't know if there's any kids that think that exist. So thank the heavens for that.
Exist. Yeah. What you said.
Yeah. Whatever I said. Luckily though, they do play in the NL Central and you're absolutely right about that. So sure up with depth, I think is okay just because of how open the division is, even though this might be a much more closely contested division than I think people could be giving it credit here for. I think this could be honestly a 4-team race for first place, and I will go over that and as to why that could be the case as we continue to go down this division. In terms of sure with depth, though, they're not going to be in the ain't no stopping us now next year, but at the same point, I could feel us, if they regress a little bit, putting them in rebuilding and retooling, or maybe even do you smell smoke if the Cody Bellinger and Shota Imanaga things go completely sideways. But I'm going to give them a 6 for this, because I do think they could be near the top of the NL Central for a few years, at least to come. And I don't know. I'm kind of split on this one. I'll give them a 6, though, for the confidence meter.
So I'm going to be honest. There is, I feel like this is a Mets situation for me, where even though I am bullish on the Cubs, and I can honestly see them winning the division if everything goes right. I think they have the pieces for it. But there's also a very real possibility that Craig Counsell screws everything up and they actually plummet. Like, I could genuinely see this team finishing in 4th if everything goes wrong. I'm not going to bet on that because I think that's worst case scenario for them. But in that same vein, I also think they could outperform themselves a little bit. So if that's the case, I mean, even if they win the Central, that's not an automatic promotion to ain't no stopping us now.
Oh,
they would have to have
no.
A miracle run to the World Series.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to agree with you. I feel like 6 is a very safe number for this. I was going to say 5 because there's a chance they go down, but considering I am relatively confident in them, if they're good again this year, I doubt they go straight to ain't no stopping us now, and it's only if they have an abysmal season that I'm willing to put them in smoke for next year. So yeah, 6 is fine for me too. Very exciting team. I'm sure we'll be talking about them a lot throughout the season, for good or for bad. We'll see. All right. Who's next? This one. Oh God. I'm going to be honest, Tom, this was the team I was looking the least forward to talking about. Not because they're not a fun team, but because I have no idea what I want to do with them yet. I have an idea, but you deferred to me a couple times now. I want you to take the lead on this.
This is a simple one for me. This is the Cincinnati Reds we're talking about here. Sharp with depth, and you will be fine. Now listen, I get that their top prospect just kind of took some steroids, and his whole, you know, career trajectory might be thrown off quite a bit. But here's the thing, and I might be tipping my hand toward the predictions, but I may or may not be thinking that the Reds will win the division this year. I don't think they're necessarily a surefire lock, because again, I think the Cubbies could compete for the division, and I also believe, realistically, the Brewers, and yes, even the St. Louis Cardinals, could potentially fight for the division title as well. Ultimately, is it going to be a four-team race at the end of the day? Probably not. It'll probably end up being three teams and one team completely peters out and only wins like 74 or 75 games. But the Reds, I feel like, are more or less the surefire, I'm confident in this team. I don't really hesitate with this one with Sharp with depth. I feel like they're a popular choice to get better than they were last year. And keep in mind, they almost made the playoffs last year as well. And they've got some of their guys on the horizon. They're not necessarily the Baltimore Orioles, where they're flush with talent necessarily on the horizon. But they've got some guys who are only looking to improve upon the growths and the strides that they've made last season. So I'm going to put them in sharp with depth, and I'm actually very confident about this one. I'm interested to see if I'm swaying your decision at all. Because again, I think this is the most... If you had to ask me which team is going to win the division with most confidence, I would say the Cincinnati Reds.
Ooh, I cannot wait till predictions. We are going to have completely different NL Centrals. I'm just telling you that right now.
Can't wait.
The Cincinnati Reds, I don't think have fully sold me yet. They have everything on paper. They have a ton of fun prospects and a solid bullpen and a rabid fan base that should get me excited. But Tom, I'm going to tell you a story. Did you ever hear the tragedy of the New Jersey Devils, the young?
I mean, I know about the New Jersey Devils. What? I don't even know where you're going with this. I think you're going to talk about the New Jersey Devils going into this season and how they've been a massive disappointment and how you're going to apply that to the Cincinnati Reds 2024 season.
I see it is the story the New Jerseyans have taught you. I'm impressed. So, yeah. For those who don't watch hockey, the Devils were an amazing team last season. Beat the Rangers in the playoffs, which was just so satisfying to watch. Made it to the second round, gave the Hurricanes a good fight, and then they were a huge favorite to go back to the playoffs this year, maybe even win the Cup, with their combination of speed, defense, and solid goaltending. Surprise, two of those three suck this year, and the young scoring is very hot and cold. So the Reds remind me a lot of the Devils, particularly because they're hitting very, very reliant on rookies, all of whom had red flags ending last season. You know, Eli De La Cruz and his strikeout problems and his inability to hit lefties, Matt McClain and his strikeout problems and his ridiculously high BABIP luck. And the pitching, Tom, I'm going to be honest, the pitching is what had me thinking sure up with depth. Their pitching still terrifies me.
Yeah.
Hunter Green and Frankie Montas are going to be BP in Great American Ballpark. I'm not high on either of them. For the sake of time, I'm willing to give them sure up with depth because they do. If they're performing at their peak, I really hope they prove me wrong, because that one, like, period of time in, like, June where Eli De La Cruz was the best hitter on the planet, that was so much fun. The Reds are such a likable team when they're healthy and when they're performing, but I really, really have my apprehensions. I honestly think they're going to be pretty low on the confidence meter for me, because I don't think the Reds are going to be as good as a lot of people say. I'll go into more depth in the prediction video, even though I did go into some depth now, but that's just where I'm at. Since we're already decided, I'll give my confidence meter. I'm going to give this like a 4.
Yeah, the pitching definitely scares the hell out of me, but luckily for them, they know that is the issue, and they have at least tried to remedy the situation. That being said, my confidence meter is a 9. You heard me right, a 9, the second most confident pick besides the Washington Nationals being in rebuilding and retooling, which was pretty much a default answer for us being a 10, let's be real. I honestly do think the Reds will win the division and then could be considered contenders to win it for years to come after next season, especially if they put up a decent showing in the playoffs. I think people will be high on them, and I think they will be a favorite to win the division yet again for 2025. So I am banking on the success of the Cincinnati Reds, and that has surely worked out for me in the past in the show's history. See the end of the 2021 season for the Cincinnati Reds, and thus making predictions for the playoffs. Yeah, that was a complete disaster. But they've turned it around fairly quickly. I'll give it to them with that. So sharp with depth, I'm giving the confidence meter a 9. I can't wait for that to go completely sideways for either Tony or myself when we look at these and evaluate them next year. A team that we had in sharp with depth last season was the Milwaukee Brewers. And this is a much different Brewers team than it was last season.
We actually had them smelling smoke last season.
We did?
After an 86 and 76 season, yeah, because the Cardinals edged them out in the division, and I think they missed the playoffs.
Oh, crap. You know what? You're right. Well, I'm glad you caught that. Well, that completely shatters any introduction I had for the Milwaukee Brewers. So I will just let you talk.
You'll just let me talk? Oh, okay. In that case, yeah, the Brewers were smelling smoke last year, and I'm going to be honest, Tom, there's a bit of me that wants to put them there again this year. If only because they lost Corbin Burnes, the worst case scenario for that pitching staff has finally happened. Now, don't get me wrong. I do think they still have a legitimate workhorse ace in Freddy Peralta. I love Freddy Peralta this year. I'll talk more about him in the predictions, wink wink. The problem has now become the pitching depth, whereas it was a strength of the Brewers before, and frankly, I think their hitting is becoming underrated. Christian Yelich is going to hit third this year, which should give him a ton of RBI opportunities. Sal Frelick and Jackson Churio are going to get opportunities right out of the gate. I love that for them. And they've got rocks in the lineup like William Contreras and Willy Adames. They really have guys who could hit on this team, which I like, but I just don't know if it's enough, especially with this lack of pitching depth. Like, who's their number two starter? Wade Miley? and even then, I think he's injured? I'll just be honest, man. This might be the second worst starting rotation in the entire NL Central. And that is really depressing because of how much I just ragged on the Reds pitching staff. I'm looking at this right now. On MLB.com, it's listed as Freddy Peralta, and then Colin Ray, Joe Ross, Jacob Junis, and DL Hall. Credit to DL Hall, he could be a nice breakout candidate, but everybody else there. No. I'm sorry, but no. When your only comp is the Pirates, that's depressing. There is a part of me that wants to move them up because they did make some nice moves like Rhys Hoskins, but I don't think enough was done to that pitching staff. The bullpen still looks great, and I almost hesitate to put a team that just made the playoffs in smoke, whereas the two that missed are in sure up with depth. But let's be honest, Tom, I think we could finally pull the postseason card on another team other than the Braves. They've been so futile in the playoffs for so long. I think they're what? In their last six games, or their last six postseason series, I think they've only won one time. It's ridiculous how bad they are in October. Like, everyone who thinks the Braves are chokers? Good God, watch the Brewers, and you'll probably cry yourself to sleep that night. So I think that really settles it. I'm going to keep them in smoke from last year.
Yeah, I feel like this is rare that we keep a team in smelling smoke 2 years in a row. Now, we've probably already done that before, probably with the Los Angeles Angels, if we're being completely honest. I'm not going to look back and confirm or deny that, but I'd like to believe we've either kept them in smoke or fire for the past 2 years, and I'm pretty sure we did that again this year just because of the massive failures. I completely agree, because they did lose Corbin Burnes, and when you lose one of the top superstar pitchers in Major League Baseball, and you really don't do much to remedy that, congratulations, that is a fast track to do you smell smoke. Now, the good thing for the Brewers is that they are kind of the Tampa Bay Rays of the National League in the fact that they somehow usually are very scrappy and find success that they can rely on with their pitching. Now, that of course means they have to rely on a fully healthy Devin Williams going into this year to kind of situate that bullpen and put them in a good position. And you said you're high on Freddy Peralta. I'm not really that high on Freddy Peralta. So that's going to be great when we get to the predictions and you inevitably put him as your National League Cy Young this year just because you drafted him in the Diamond Duo Fantasy League. I can't wait for that discussion to happen 2 weeks from now.
That's not why I picked him, because I think he's a good pick to win the Cy Young. If not, I get 200 strikeouts. Oh well.
Ooh. Oh, well. You might have 200 strikeouts, but you're going to have a nice 4-something ERA.
You drafted Aaron Nola. You can't say
You know what? I kind of did do that.
Mr. 4 ERA.
I'm a lot more confident in Aaron Nola's abilities this year than Freddie Peralta's abilities. Let's be honest. One of them didn't completely themselves last year, even though they were hurt. But we're not going to talk about
Aaron Nola shit himself. Anymore. What are you talking about? We can have this conversation some other time.
Yeah, I'll look it up on Baseball Reference after that. Do you smell smoke? Absolutely. I'm not confident in the offense at all. Once again, surprise, surprise with the Milwaukee Brewers. Do I think they'll be here next year? Can they get here for a third year in a row? Probably not. That's why I'm going to give them a confidence meter of 2. Quite frankly, I can see myself giving them a 1.
Wow.
But that's only for the fact that I don't think we can theoretically put them in Do You Smell Smoke for a third year in a row after this. Do I think they could be in this position next year? Absolutely. Do I think they could still win the National League Central again this year? Yeah, I do think they can if all things go correctly. They do have enough pieces, and again, it's a shaky enough division, but in terms of their rating for next year, I'm not confident that will put them in Do You Smell Smoke next year.
I'm in the same boat, but there's also a bit of me that's worried if the rest of the division passes them up, they'll still be here because, you know, they just have enough. They still have Williams and Yelich and Cherio and whatever. You know, but actually, if the rest of the division does pass them up after making the playoffs, I feel like that's instant. Everything is on fire. So you know what? 3 for me. Like, this is a team that has a very dangerous road ahead of them, especially without Craig Counsell now. I don't think Pat Murphy has ever managed before, at least in the big league level. So this is a big prove-it year for him. And I will say, if the Brewers show up, he's probably going to be the favorite to win the Manager of the Year award. But as it stands, I don't know. Brewers have a lot to prove this year, not just in the regular season, too. Speaking of a lot to prove this year, guess who's the one team in the NL Central that nobody expects to do anything, but I kind of am intrigued by this year. And surprise, it's not the Cardinals. It's actually the next team we get to talk about, and I cannot believe I'm actually saying this, but the Pittsburgh Pirates are kind of intriguing me, Tom.
Okay. Whatever you say.
Kind of. I say kind of. There's no doubt in my mind that they're going to finish towards the bottom of this division, depending on who else in this division decides to blow up with them. But hear me out. I'll make this quick, and then I'll throw it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Healthy O'Neill Cruz. That is a 30-30 season right there. That is a Ronald Acuna light playing at shortstop.
Sure it is.
A healthy Brian Reynolds continuously in his prime. He should get some help in the lineup with the aforementioned O'Neill Cruz. More RBI opportunities for him. Maybe he even hits 30 homers this year. Who knows? He's always underperformed his expected numbers. Maybe this is the year he breaks out. Who else we got? Breakout stars like Jack Sawinski. He almost had a 2020 campaign last year, and his underlying numbers look fantastic. Plus he's fast, plus he's a decent fielder. If he learns how to hit lefties and stop striking out that much, he could genuinely be a good cleanup hitter for this team. I'm confident in that. And you know who else I'm starting to buy in on? Henry Davis, the number one overall pick from a few years ago, who came up last year as a cup of coffee in the outfield, has been mashing in spring training, has been getting better defensively behind the plate, and could actually be the one to start catching Paul Skeens when they call him up. And oh yeah, Paul Skeens is probably going to debut halfway through this season too. I think the Royals are going to surprise people this year, Tom, the Pirates are also going to surprise people. That is my bold take for the NL Central. Do I think they're going to win? No. Do I think they're going to get over 500? Probably not. See that rotation. Look after Mitch Keller. Your eyes will probably start bleeding. But here's the thing. I feel like the Pirates' expectations are so low that any semblance of success is going to be seen as surprising. That's why I'm so high on them. That being said, rebuilding and retooling, they still have a couple ways to go after all that big spiel. But I will say, if they do the right thing, they could go somewhere else next year, chiefly shore up with depth. I just want to see them get some more pitching before that happens.
I'll make this very quick, so that way I don't inevitably do a spiel and land on the exact same reading. They'll be in rebuilding and retooling. I'm not nearly as high as you are on the Pittsburgh Pirates' success in the present. I do think that they will make some strides from guys who have been hurt or who have underperformed to people's expectations over the past few years, like an O'Neal Cruz or maybe even the Cabrian Hayes. I know he's kind of like that platinum glove watch list type of guy, but maybe he finally gets it going with the stick a little bit more. Maybe Jack Swinski can do more. I have my doubts because, again, it's the Pittsburgh Pirates, and if there's one thing they don't do well, it's develop their major league talent, unfortunately. I would say once you get out of the gutter of the division, you can finally maybe then be considered for sure up with depth, but technically they're actually already out of the gutter because they won 76 games last year because they got off to a hot start in April again, and they won more games than the next team we have to talk about, the St. Louis Cardinals, believe it or not. So maybe they'll wind up back in the gutter. I think realistically that's a surefire spot for them. Rebuilding and retooling, I still think they're probably 2 years away before they can even sniff a wild card spot. If I'm being completely honest, I'm going to give them a 9 for rebuilding and retooling in the confidence meter of where I think they'll be for next year.
Do you want to know how confident I am in the NL Central being a shitstorm this year? Pirates are getting a 6 for me. Not quite down there in, you know, like the 4 or the threes of, yeah, I think this could change next year. I still think they could be retooling and rebuilding next year, but the NL Central is so wide open that honestly, Tom, I see a world where the Pirates just f*** around and finish in third. I don't think their pitching will allow them to do that realistically, but I don't think it's as unlikely as people think it is. Granted, I'm much higher on the Royals than I am on the Pirates this year. That's not a sentence I ever thought I'd say, but with the Pirates, I feel like they have enough pieces to intrigue me, and if they break out in certain ways, they can be in a better place for 2025. That's all I'm going to say. Not going to say they're going to win the World Series or nothing. That's for the Royals and Vinny Pasquantino exclusively.
Oh my God. You know, I would disagree with you there, but Tony, we've mentioned it before. The Royals did get Will Smith, so that does mean start booking your, if you're trying to make plans for November, start booking your trip to Kansas City now, because there's going to be a parade there for the Kansas City Royals in November of 2024. Right around election time for the Royals 2024 World Series title. Book it now. Save yourself some money now. That was supposed to be a segue.
Please do.
But I think Tony was starting to book his trip in the process, and that's why he went silent there. So we're going to move on to the next team.
Yeah, sorry. I was buying my Vinny Pasquantino MVP patch jersey. So, yeah, you take it away with the Cardinals. I'll be back with you in a minute.
The Cardinals. Oh, yes. The team that we just mentioned fell into the gutter of the National League Central last year for winning 71 games and decided that that was good enough of a reason to extend your manager, Ollie Marmol, for like another 3 or 4 years after that. That's a fantastic decision. Such a fantastic decision, in fact, that you are now in Everything Is On Fire in my eyes. You f*** around, you find out. That was my prediction for them last year with the New Year's resolutions. Guess what came true? F*** around, find out. That's the St. Louis Cardinals motto for last year. And guess what? I don't necessarily think that'll necessarily be that for this year. But holy crap, guys. The expectations were set very low and somehow you went way below them. You could have barely missed the playoffs and finished in third, and we would have considered you a lot more respectful than we do right now. Or at least maybe I do, because I have some personal beef with Ollie Marmol and the St. Louis Cardinals. That being said, last year was a complete dumpster fire. Rightfully so. I believe everything is on fire in Cardinals land, considering, yes, they got Sonny Gray, but holy crap. First of all, he's starting the season on IL. That's not a good thing. And that means you have to rely on nothing to lead your rotation going into the season. And you need to start good if you want to wipe off the memories of last season from Cardinals fans' mouths. And that's not going to happen with the arguably the pitching staff in Major League Baseball. Everything is on fire for their pitching and their manager's poor decision-making. I'm sticking to that.
I'm going to be honest, Tom. I don't think we've gone hard enough on the Cardinals. As impossible as that is to believe, how do you go from 90-some-odd wins and the kingpins of your division to being curb-stomped by the goddamn Pirates with ease? And their solution is to keep Ollie Marmol around? I'm sorry, what? Like, look at Arenado and Goldschmidt's Baseball Reference pages. I won't go through them all with you, but here's all I'll say. Both of them saw OPS plus drops of 50 from 2022 to 2023. And they're only going to get older, and Goldschmidt's a free agent after this year. For the love of God, St. Louis, you need to change something. For God's sake, even the most stubborn of sports organizations are dragged kicking and screaming into the modern era eventually. Even the goddamn Yankees woke up and signed or traded for a premier hitter to help their sputtering offense. I'm sorry, but the solution to your old-ass pitching staff was not to make it older. It's not just Sonny Gray, it's Lance Lynn, it's Kyle Gibson, it's Miles Michaelis starting on opening day for the second year in a row. You know what happened last year when that happened? You could ask me. I'm the sorry son of a bitch that drafted him in fantasy. He was terrible. Everything is so staunchly on fire in St. Louis. This was last year should have been a wake-up call, not a sign to continue whatever it is the fuck you're doing. They still do have intriguing pieces, don't get me wrong. Goldschmidt could bounce back. Arenado could bounce back. They're both Hall of Famers. I'm particularly high on Nolan Gorman. I think he could hit 30 home runs this year. But, my God, after last year, you can't put them in anything else. In terms of whether or not they're going to be there next year, frankly, Tom, I don't know, again, because of the NL Central and how much their players could or could not bounce back. Considering the nature of their pitching staff, though, where are you going to put them on the confidence scale? Because I'm between like two numbers, and they're on opposite ends of the spectrum.
I have a more straightforward approach with my confidence meter. I will say, I know their OPS has dropped, Arenado's and Goldschmidt's, but I still think the Cardinals' offense is actually underrated, and I think will be a top 12 offense in baseball in 2024, just because they do have enough talent, I honestly believe, to get it done, even with two aging superstars in your lineup. That being said, everything is on fire. The confidence meter for me going into that next year is going to be a 3, because I think they will improve, and again, I think they could compete for the division here. So if they show any sign of improvement, which isn't very hard to do, even with the rotation that they do have and subpar bullpen, even if they win like 80 games, that's going to take them out of everything is on fire, we think, unless things go colossally wrong in St. Louis, which very likely could happen. That being said, I don't think we're going to have them in the complete gutter next year. That's why I'm going with a 3 here.
Here's my thing, super quick, and then we'll move to the last division. The Cardinals, if they do get better, yes, they're out of this, but if they fail again, even if, frankly, if they're mediocre and they finish in like 4th, they're not rebuilding and retooling anytime soon because their farm system is trash, and I don't trust the Cardinals GM or ownership to fully embrace a rebuild like that. They showed that this offseason. So I'm going to make them a 5. Perfectly split down the middle. If they do good, cool, they'll move up. If they don't, they're staying right the hell here. Not a good place for the Cardinals. They are probably one of the teams I'm lower on in the NL Central, if I'm being perfectly honest. I do like their pieces on offense, but considering it's the same crappy manager with the same crappy pitching staff, there's only so much hitting could take you. I just don't trust the Cardinals. That's it. And with that, Tom, with probably way too much time on the first two divisions, let's try and get through this last one yes, relatively quickly, because I will say, almost all of these, I'll say, are easy. So let's kick it off with the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm going to be honest, Tom, I'm going to give them the exact same treatment we gave the Phillies when they made the World Series on a miracle run back in 2022. I think they're a great team on paper, but they've still got some holes up and down their lineup, or up and down their roster, particularly starting pitching. I have my apprehensions about Zach Gallen, and even though I do like Merrill Kelly, he is older than you probably think. I'm pretty sure he's like 35 or 36. And after that, it's a hodgepodge of, you know, has-beens and never-wers. Or I suppose never-wers is a better word. They're all unproven prospects like Ryan Nelson, Tommy Henry, and the like. I'm going to put them in shore up with depth. They've more than earned that. I don't think there ain't no stopping us now, because there is a bit of me that is crying regression with some of their guys on that roster. But there is something else crying for more progress, particularly maybe Corbin Carroll is healthy and hits for more power. Maybe Christian Walker keeps it up and hits another 30 bombs. Maybe Ketel Marte makes another all-star team. Hell, maybe Zach Gallant doesn't regress and I'm just wrong about him. But the Diamondbacks are a really good team. They've just got more holes on their roster than, say, the Dodgers. Shore up with depth, and I'm pretty confident in that. I'm going to hold off on a confidence meter before you give your take, Tom.
Yeah, to me, they're actually really close to ain't no stopping us now, for the reason that their farm system is incredibly talented, and ownership has showed the will to invest in this team in the offseason. Keep in mind, they signed Eduardo Rodriguez. I know that got overshadowed, because that's when Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Shohei Ohtani were signing with the Dodgers at the time. But Eduardo Rodriguez, if you forget, was really, really good last season before injuries kind of unfortunately derailed his season.
He's actually injured right now.
Well, yeah, that doesn't really help. That doesn't really help what I'm trying to say in terms of investment in this team being good for this year. But keep in mind, they did that. They also picked up Eugenio Suarez from the Seattle Mariners, which was probably a fire sale by Jerry DePoto because he doesn't know what the hell he's doing in Seattle. Sharp with depth, I'm comfortable with, although I will say if they have another great season, if they make the NLCS again, or God forbid they make the World Series again, then I think we can really consider them and to give them a boost. Sharp with depth, though, I'm going to be very confident. I'm going to give them a 9 because I do think they will be a playoff team yet again, and they will only get better.
I'm going to be honest, same boat. I'm going to give them an 8 just because just a little less confident than you, but still fairly confident. My only apprehension is that starting rotation. The bullpen looks great. 99% of that offense looks fantastic. You know, there's always that little hint in my head worrying about regression. But if there's any team in the NL West outside of the Dodgers I would predict to do well, it's going to be the Diamondbacks. And they've proved that to me. Congrats, Diamondbacks. You've crawled out of the hell of rebuilding and retooling, and everything is on fire beforehand. Truly the success story of success stories. Hey, Tom, you want to know who's not a success story by any layer imaginable?
I wonder if you're going to say the Los Angeles Dodgers.
You already... I clicked back to the rundown to write it in and you already did. For reference, I'm talking about the Dodgers. Could you tell the Ohtani news is actually that bad? No, I'm talking about the Colorado Rockies. They're in Everything is on Fire. I was going to go straight to the rundown before I said a word, before I even said the team, and write Everything is on Fire, but Tom already did. So, yeah, I shouldn't have to say anything about this team. Confidence meter 10. Let's just go ahead and pencil that in. I have no apprehensions in saying that they're going to be horrible this year. Shoutouts, credit where credit's due. Nolan Jones, 2020 season last year. Golf claps, nicely done, great season, in line to do something similar again. Ezekiel Tovar, promising prospect, just got paid, 7-year extension worth 60-some-odd million. Congratulations to you, you are set for life. I'm sorry you have to spend the next 7 years in Colorado. Maybe you'll get the Arenado treatment and leave after only 3, maybe you'll get lucky. Outside of that, I don't know, Brendan Rodgers is finally healthy. Ryan McMahon, maybe they'll finally live up to their prospect pedigree. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know, man. This team is awful. I mentioned this episodes ago, but their pitching staff, I am confident, is going to set records for ineptitude. Everyone in their predicted starting five had a whip over 1.5 last year. And in Coors Field, that's just not going to play. Everything is on fire. You knew that already.
I'm going to paraphrase the Michael Kay Show's Don LaGreca when I say the following. Wake up, Dick! Yes! Not wake up, Flip. Wake up, Dick. Referring to the owner. Not necessarily how I feel about the owner, even though it's the exact same word as his first name. Wake up. Do something. Show me something. Give something to your fan base. Give any sliver of hope back into this team. At least they showed they were going to invest. I mean, they made a terrible decision with Chris Bryant a few years ago. But at least they made a wise investment with Ezekiel Tovar in locking up a young potential stud for a while following in the youth movement of Major League Baseball and signing potential stars. But yeah, everything is on fire. 10, next team. The Rockies suck. They're going to suck for a while until they actually figure out what direction they are heading in. Here's another easy one, because I don't think we can put them in anything but the top tier. The Los Angeles Dodgers. Yes, the Shohei Ohtani drama is going on right now, but they still signed Shohei Ohtani. More likely than not, this will blow over into a story that we will remember, but I don't think it'll really affect the Dodgers season. Ain't no stopping us now. They also picked up Yoshinobu Yamamoto, although I will say, he did not look good in the Seoul series at all. That was not good. So, yeah, he might not be holding that top 24 rating that Tony and I gave him a few weeks back for very long. Oh, let's just say that. Yeah, that again, that was a theater pick. I just want to say it was more for show than an actual rating. I am saying that to save our ass, Tony. But let's just do the conservative thing with the Dodgers and not be ballsy. Just put them in Ain't No Stopping Us Now so that way we don't piss off Dodger Nation even more.
I will say, I'm going to throw them on the fire for a little bit here. How many playoff series are you going to lose before management finally wakes up and fires Dave Roberts? Or does, I don't know, something other than throw money at literally everything? In theory, this really should bring down my score, at least my confidence meter. Because I am confident they'll get there. What real competition do they have in that division? Do I realistically think any of them are going to catch them in the regular season? No. But with how swiftly the Diamondbacks dispatched them in the NLDS, it was embarrassing. It was like watching a team die on live TV. There's a part of me that wants to give this a 9, Tom. I know this really should be a 10 because they are going to be there, but just for their playoff ineptitude, I want to say 9. Because there's always that hint in me that says, oh, the Dodgers are a great team, but I know never to put money on them in October because they've given me no reason to. The only time they could bring it home was when everything needed to be changed in 2020. So I don't know, I might have to settle with a 9 here.
Here's where I'm going to settle. I'm going to settle with an 8 here. I was thinking about giving them the exact same score of the Atlanta Braves for the exact same reasons as at least I gave to the Braves, and you gave to the Dodgers with their playoff ineptitude. But I'm also considering that bump up for the consideration of Tony. Which international phenom is going to be a free agent most likely next year?
Blake Snell, when he opts out of his deal.
If you consider that an international free agent, God bless you. Roki Sasaki was the name I'm going there for. And he is most likely going to be a free agent next year. And also keep in mind who's quickly right after him. Munetaka Murakami, the left-handed Japanese super slugger that will hopefully be a New York Yankee at one point in his career, hopefully in his prime, but most likely they're going to be Los Angeles Dodgers.
I'm going to throw you another curveball. What other international superstar who may or may not be under investigation right now is going to be able to throw a baseball again after this season is done?
You know, that's the more realistic point. That would be, let me think. I gotta carry the one here. Kenta Maeda.
Chanho Park. Yeah, there you go. What's his name? Hideki Arabu, that guy on the Yankees.
Free agency, the Dodgers will continue to win. As Tony mentioned, Shohei Ohtani will be able to pitch next year. No matter what happens this year, unless it's a colossal failure, they'll be back in Ain't No Stopping Us Now next year. And quite frankly, because of the Ohtani thing, which somehow I forgot, I'm moving them up to a 10. Actually, you know what? No. 9. A 9. Because of the playoffs.
I just want to see them do more. Win one playoff series and I'll take you seriously. You know what? Screw it. No, forget that. They've won that. Go to the World Series again and then maybe I'll take you seriously. Mm-hmm. They haven't been since 2020 and that is 4 years ago. So I need to see something more from them. We need to see something more from the Dodgers. Hey, Tom, pop quiz. Name another NL West team that we haven't talked about yet we need to see more from. Guess what? They're both right answers.
I was going to say the Giants because I know we're talking about the Padres right here. Just so I would try and throw you off. But yeah, you are right. They are both correct answers. But we will talk about the Padres real quickly first. And I will let you do so.
Absolutely. Now, the Padres are a weird team because they just barely made it over 500 last year, and that was very clearly due to some bad luck, some bad, you know, batted ball data, some bad schedule luck, and some horrendous luck in one run and extra inning games. I really, really, really think some people are sleeping on the Padres offense, because even though they lost Juan Soto, Tatis is still there, Machado's still there, Xander Bogaerts is still there, and Bogaerts looked great in the Seoul series. They've got top prospect Jackson Merrill patrolling center field now. They've got Joe Musgrove healthy for a whole season. They got Michael King in that Juan Soto deal. The Padres have really intriguing pieces, and they honestly have a really nice bullpen now with the addition of guys like Woo Suk Go and Yuki Matsui. So, Padres are a difficult team to gauge. We put them in Ain't No Stopping Us Now last year. That is most certainly not happening again this year. I can guarantee you that. Maybe I'm still high off whatever I was smoking last year when I said they would win the World Series, but I'm going to put them in Shore Up with Depth. I feel like that's fair enough for them because they still do have pieces. They still have guys on their roster that can make stuff happen. And at the end of the day, a bunch of their failure last year was rotten luck. And I feel like if a couple things go their way this season, they could bare minimum be in wildcard discussions. They're not going to topple the Dodgers. I think a lot of people have learned that after last season. But Shore Up with Depth, they're a decent team on paper. They just need a little bit more to be back in that echelon of, you know, great teams. I don't know. Maybe a superstar outfielder would have helped them. I don't know who. Names are escaping me right now, Tom. You talk before I think of, you know, a superstar outfielder that they could have to push them over the top.
I will say, unlike another California team, at least they got something for their superstar left-handed bat. I think it's pretty obvious which California team we're talking about. On the other hand, we just talked about the Dodgers and Shohei Ohtani. I think you can make the correlation now. I kind of have to agree here. Now, that being said, I really, really, really want to almost put them in Do You Smell Smoke? I'm actually surprised you put the Padres in Ain't No Stopping Us Now last year. Actually, you know what? I do believe that because we were smoking all of that Padres ganja entering last season. Realistically, they do have enough talent to compete. The issue is, I don't think they can make that much more financial investments, given that Peter Seidler, unfortunately, is no longer going to be with the team with his passing away, and I don't know who's going to open up the piggy bank with the San Diego Padres even more anymore, and that kind of gives me concern to put them in Do You Smell Smoke? Also, the fact that they did fail kind of harshly after the previous season's success of the NLCS to not making the playoffs. That being said, they didn't completely pull the St. Louis Cardinals. They still won 82 games. They almost made the playoffs at the very least, so that could have at least rebounded their image a little bit. And they still can make the playoffs this year. But here's the thing. I'll cater to Shore Up with Depth for now, just because I want to move this episode along, and I can make a case, as you just did with the San Diego Padres. That being said, I'm only giving them a 4. For Shore Up with Depth, because I very well think this could start to go sideways after this season to the point where we put them in Do You Smell Smoke next year. I think that's very realistic.
I'm going to agree with you that it's realistic, but I'm going to play the same card I did with the with the cards. But
oh my god.
You know, this season could go very sideways for them, but I feel like there's also a chance they get back to form. I don't know. Oh wait, I also forgot they have Dylan Cease now. So, who knows?
Oh, yeah.
He could use a bounce back, too. Pitching in cavernous Petco Park will absolutely help with that. And on paper, it makes the Padres even scarier. Michael King is now their fourth pitcher. I'm more confident in Ain't No Stop... I almost said it again. In Shore Up with Depth now. I'm still giving them a 5, though, because there is room for error, plenty of room for error with how last season went. But I feel like they got unlucky enough for me to still have at least some faith in them. If it goes well, awesome. If it goes wrong, it's not the most surprising thing in the world. So that's the Padres. And last but not least, Tom, we have the Island of Misfit Boris clients, the San Francisco Giants.
Oh, yeah.
A team constructed with scotch tape and silly putty to almost sorta kinda resemble a completed roster. I mean, hey, Tom, all things considered, I know, like, before the show, Tom and I were low-key crapping on the Giants. I'll give them credit. They saw a bunch of name brands at a discounted price, and they said, why the hell not? No one else wants these things. And they just threw it on themselves, even though, you know, different parts of the outfit may not fit together. If you catch the allegory I'm trying to make. Tom, why don't you lead off this one and express your thoughts on what will no doubt be probably third place in this division. Or maybe fourth if they're unlucky.
Yeah, honestly, fourth place is looking very solid for the San Francisco Giants here. Look, they've improved their team. And you can make all the arguments in the world that this is a much improved team compared to last season. And they actually invested, which is good. However, as you mentioned, it's a lot of disgruntled Boris clients. And we're using the word disgruntled in air quotes. We really don't know how they're feeling. But they signed a lot of people on short-term deals, necessarily. Matt Chapman and Blake Snell, and even Jorge Soler to a degree, where they're getting pretty substantial money per year, but only for the short term. The issue is, this team is only built for the short term. They don't really have a farm system to supplement a very fruitful future. And that's really been the MO of the San Francisco Giants ever since this their dynasty era started to come to a close. They cannot turn the chapter successfully into the next era. I know they won like 107 games a couple of years ago, but that was a completely different team, and that was also completely lucky. Could the Giants get lucky and make the playoffs this year? Absolutely. But I'm not banking on long-term success, and quite frankly, I'm not even super high on short-term success for the San Francisco Giants. I don't see them winning more than like more than a 500 record, to be completely honest, going into this season. Could they do it realistically? Yeah, sure. But that means the Padres have to fall off and inevitably continue to sink. That means the Diamondbacks probably regress, which is realistic. But the Dodgers probably won't regress in the regular season. And the Giants are going to have to make that up somewhere else if they want to win more than 81 games. So that being said, they're in rebuilding and retooling for me, for the fact that they are retooling, quote-unquote, right now. But they really should think about rebuilding once again, because they have a couple guys. I think Kyle Harrison, if I'm not mistaken, is their biggest name. You've got Harrison, but that's really the only name I know. And listen, I really don't know prospects, and I'll be the first one to admit that. But I think that's really it for the San Francisco Giants. And yeah, they could use more pitching, but they need a lot more than just pitching. This is a team that's going for the short term, and I'm not confident in that short term. Rebuilding and retooling is my grade.
I was almost expecting you to go ballsy and say, do you smell smoke? Because, trust me, there's a part of me that wants to put them there. Because they've been, after 2021, where they won 100-something games, they've been largely unsuccessful. They can't find consistent hitting. Their pitching outside of Logan Webb has been a mess. And even though their bullpen has been surprisingly good, it can't carry the team by itself. And another season under 500 means Gabe Kapler is out, Bob Melvin is in, and also in comes all these free agents. I don't really know what to make of them. Again, Tom, I'm kind of low on them at the moment. I don't want to call them rebuilding because this isn't really... You could call this rebuilding. I call this just buying.
Like, yeah.
This is what the Miami Marlins did in 2012 to make people believe like, oh, look, we care about the team, but come to our new stadium, really.
They're tooling up. That's what they're doing. It's more of a retool than a rebuild.
Yeah, that's fair. It is called rebuilding and retooling. So, you know, I'll agree with you on that. I feel like Do You Smell Smoke is mean because they are at least trying, which is a lot more than I could say for most teams. Better effort than the Cardinals put up, I'll tell you that much for damn sure. And I will say, I do like some of their pieces. Like, in a vacuum, I like Jorge Soler. I like Matt Chapman. I even like international prospect Jung-Hoo Lee. He was great in the WBC. Problem, they all have red flags attached to them. Chapman is nowhere near a consistent hitter. Soler sucks defensively, and Jung-Hoo Lee can't hit for power, and we don't even know if he's going to adapt well to American pitching. I don't know what this hitting is going to look like together. That's the thing. I like these pieces. I don't know how much I'm going to like the whole. We'll have to see what happens when the season starts. I will give them credit. I really like their 1-2-3 punch in the rotation now. Because they have Logan Webb, who's genuinely, I think, one of the most underrated pitchers in baseball. He's great. You have Blake Snell, barring any regression, he should at least be serviceable. And then Kyle Harrison, who you mentioned, Tom, I think he's bound for a nice little breakout campaign. He's been amazing in spring training. And one other prospect I'll throw at you, shortstop Marco Luciano. With the departure of Brandon Crawford, shortstop job is all but his, or at least it should be. So rebuilding and retooling, I don't really know what they're going for here. I don't think it's going to work. But I feel like there's like a slim chance that it does work, Tom, which is why I'm not going to be super confident or super apprehensive about this pick. For the confidence meter, I'm going to give it a... I feel like I've been giving a lot of fives and sixes, but this National League Central is very strange. And the National League, you know what, the National League West... Actually, I just gave a five to the Padres. What am I saying? You know, I'll give this one a six. This is definitely a team that is a little shifty for me. Like, I don't know what they're going to be, but I'm more confident they're going to remain this way next year than I am the Padres. Like, the Padres are more volatile. The Giants are very, let's wait and see. So that's where I'll leave on the Giants.
Yeah, it's either this is going to be a hit, but not really a great hit, or it's going to be a miss, but you're only tied to short-term deals, so you can get out of any sort of hell you work yourself into. Rebuilding and retooling, I completely agree with you with a six there. I'm not confident that things will necessarily work well for the Giants. I could see us easily putting them in Do You Smell Smoke next year if things go awry, like really awry, this season. But maybe they'll actually sign their superstar next season in free agency. Who knows? That's still an ongoing topic that the Giants can't...
That's funny.
Yeah, they can't shake for, like, how many free agency cycles now? Like, three or four in a row? See Arson Judge, if you don't know what we're talking about. That being said, we are done talking about the how effed are they scale in the National League. And that pretty much does it for this episode, and also the how effed are they scale around the entire league. Again, we did the American League last episode, and we just completed the National League this episode. Let us know what you think in any sort of comments if we do decide to actually make a post announcing this episode. I didn't do that for the last episode because I was sick and I didn't feel like it. This time, I will actually try and remember that while Tony's in Houston. My parting words for this episode, just to speed things along because I see the recording time and I want to go to bed, is Tony... Have fun in Houston, go Yankees, and because opening day will happen before or shortly after this episode releases, it's finally baseball time. Spring training's over, now we can fully delve into real baseball.
Hell yeah, we can. And one last thing, ladies and gentlemen, if you hear a report from Houston that a Yankee fan was assaulted by Southerners for banging on an Astros trash can on the concourse, remember me well. Thank you all so much for listening to episode 87 of the Diamond Duo Podcast. Be sure to go follow us on social media at Diamond Duo Pod on Twitter, the Diamond Duo Podcast on Instagram for more content and show updates and all that jazz. Please give us a 5-star rating wherever you find your podcast, Spotify, Apple, wherever it may be. We'd greatly appreciate it. And once again, thank you all so much for listening. Get excited for Thursday. If Thursday isn't already here, regular season baseball is back, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be exciting. Let's have a good season.